Welcome to the Future of Learning and Work podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Keir. Each week, I highlight the people and companies shaping the future of education, training, and work. This week's guest is Genevieve Ryan Belair, founder and CEO of Real World. Real World is simplifying adulthood through education, resources, and community. Genevieve and I talk about the lack of practical education post-college, how they're solving the problem, and their long-term vision. Hope you enjoy, and don't forget to share and review.
I'm the founder and CEO of Real World. We're essentially a platform, marketplace, and community to navigate adulthood and big life moments. And I got into the startup ecosystem kind of, I would say non-traditionally. I'm a lawyer by background. So I have my JD and my MBA, which I got right after I graduated from college. I went straight into graduate school. So I spent another 4 years or so kind of learning that trade after I graduated from college, which really meant that I didn't actually enter the real world, so to speak, until I was a little bit older than most people. And so when I started my first job, I was working at an investment bank at a sort of strategic initiative they had there focused on startups, particularly women-led startups. And had an amazing experience, but realized pretty much immediately once I started working that there were so many things that I hadn't really learned in school, despite being very blessed with an amazing education. So everything from personal finances to healthcare, how taxes work, setting up 401ks, all of these sort of life things that were really important and sort of complex, but just hadn't had much experience with growing up. And so that's ultimately what led me to Real World. But my initial career path was very much focused more in the kind of like finance, law, political world before I just fell in love with this problem and started building.
You gave a quick one-liner introduction on what Real World is, but can you go into a little more detail around how you're solving this problem and the different components of the business or the platform?
Yeah, of course. So our product, I should say, is the first of its kind. So we're essentially the first platform to take on this adulthood landscape, which is an industry, I should say, that we see emerging now. It's basically a collection of everything from student loan repayment to finances and sort of just like credit cards to, as I mentioned, employer paperwork, taxes, healthcare, living situations, sort of all of these life things that we've kind of grouped and almost bundled into this one industry as we see it. And so what we're trying to do, which is new and has evolved a lot, our product has evolved a lot to address this need over the last couple of years as we've been building. But what we're trying to do is really kind of three things. The first is to educate people on the different subjects and different topics that we cover and kind of help almost provide an outline or guide or playbook really for navigating these different questions or topics. So part of what our product does is just identify what those different decisions are that you're likely going to need to make when you start in the real world. It's almost kind of like onboarding for adulthood. The second thing we try and do is actually help you do those things, make those decisions in the most streamlined and sort of personalized way possible. So we do that in our platform through this concept we've built called playbooks, which are essentially step-by-step logic-based flows that incorporate education, vocabulary, documents, kind of all the life things that you need, all in one place to get you from zero to one, so to speak, across each of these different decisions and help you make sort of smart, informed choices. And then the next sort of and phase really that we're focused on right now as a company is kind of that third pillar, which is helping you manage that over time. So helping you actually take charge of your life as a young adult and sort of look ahead as to what the decisions are that are coming up for you or what are the different challenges or things you might be facing, whether it's something like going back to grad school or starting a new job or moving to a new city or getting married or having your first child, whatever that sort of life moment is that you're experiencing, we are trying to be there to support you throughout that whole journey and that whole process. And so the platform is very much designed to be a centralized place to discover and to sort of get reminded about different information, but also to really connect you to the best services across categories that we do all of the homework around in terms of vetting, understanding how they fit into this landscape, understanding the positives, negatives of each different type of product, and really sort of providing that context for people as they're starting out. And then the last piece of that whole, one-liner, as I mentioned, is community. And so building a community of really informed individuals who are kind of helping each other figure out the real world and understanding what they need to do across these different topics and sharing their own experiences to create a more valuable experience for people who are going forward.
I love that phrase, adulthood onboarding. I think you also have a phrase on your website that's like simplifying adulthood.
Yeah.
And that encapsulates the idea really well. I want to dig into the different components of the product that you just touched on. But first, to take a step back, you mentioned you think this is an emerging space, or this is going to be growing in the next few years. Why is it that somebody hasn't tackled this as of yet? What are the existing, I guess, primitive solutions to this? And why haven't education systems or institutions incorporated this into their curriculum?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I think that this type of product hasn't been built for a couple of reasons to date. The first is that it's just really hard. Like, it's really hard to become, as a company, subject matter experts in even more than one category. And so if you look at the market now of what you think of as this kind of adulthood landscape, it's very fractionalized. It's very sort of disaggregated. There's companies that focus specifically on one element of this space, and they do a great job of it. So they focus on renter's insurance, and they can help you get a policy really quickly, understand the, you know, mechanics around it, et cetera. But they go very deep within one vertical. And so I think the first thing, and one of the reasons we've spent a lot of time really becoming kind of the, you know, experts and leading thinkers on this space, is just learning that landscape and really developing like deep understanding of the problem space itself. So I think that's the first piece. It's a lot to take on. Second is, I think that there is a trend that's happening in the market now around like rebundling sort of things that have been previously unbundled. So you even look at like communities like Facebook, for example. Like, now there are social networks around almost every different kind of topic you can imagine. So things even like Vivino, which is a product-led community around wine, understanding like where to buy wine, what types of wines you might prefer, understanding reviews of wine, et cetera. It's sort of taken that concept that, you know, Facebook was sort of that single social network and sort of built it out into many different verticals. So I think you're seeing that across a lot of different industries. And so that's something that we're playing into. And then to your question around like, you know, why, what do people do right now to solve this problem? It's typically two things. It's either asking your parents, if you have parents who are in a situation where they can actually give advice around these different topics, or an older sibling or someone you trust. But the tough thing about that is that, number one, not everyone has that. And number two, a lot of that information is pretty outdated. And so, you know, if you ask your parents around setting up an IRA, for example, they might not know very much about robo-advisors or about the different products and tools that are new that are out there that can help you throughout that process. And then secondly, the other option out there is Google. It's just going down the rabbit hole, which is pretty much what I did when I was starting out in this space, to look up what different documents are, understanding, you know, the basics around these different questions, but you actually have to know what to Google. So it doesn't solve that larger space and that larger problem that we're tackling of like actually helping you understand the frameworks in which you're operating. And I think education systems, unfortunately, you know, the number one thing we hear from people, I would say we hear two things. The first is, I wish I had this when I was younger. And that's our favorite thing to hear, because that's the goal, is to build something to solve that need. But the second is, why didn't I learn this in school? And it's one of those things where it's a much more complex conversation to have. But essentially, from a high school level perspective, it's kind of state by state in terms of requiring financial literacy, or sort of putting a priority around financial literacy in the classroom. And we think of real world, obviously, as more than just financial literacy. It's more life literacy, but really having that kind of committed on the state level, you know, sort of prioritization around actually teaching these topics is not consistent across the country. And then secondly, oftentimes schools, high schools or colleges, don't necessarily feel equipped to teach these topics. So between there not really being an accountability mechanism to require you to teach these sorts of things in school, and also not having necessarily the expertise or the you know, ability to do so, has just made it be this kind of like lost topic, so to speak, in our education system. The tough thing, though, is for students and recent graduates and people who are just starting out, is when you graduate and you start your first job, they expect you already know this stuff. So it's kind of like schools think that maybe your parents are teaching you, or you'll learn it when you get into the real world. Your parents are thinking you're learning it at school. And then companies, by the time you get there, think, oh, you must have already learned this stuff along the way. We don't need to teach you about what a deductible is. We just need to have you fill out your health insurance paperwork. So it's this really kind of like buck stops nowhere problem, which is why we're trying to build a solution that really closes the gap.
I think you perfectly explain the problem and the gap in the market, and why there's a huge opportunity here. Why do you feel that, or how is real world well-positioned to solve this problem. You mentioned that it's difficult to become an expert across all these different verticals or topics. Why are you capable of doing that, whereas some of the other solutions that are out there aren't?
So I think, you know, we have, I would say we're obsessed with this problem. So like we've spent a lot of time understanding this space, you know, months and months of thousands of interviews with recent graduates, with people a couple years out of school, people still in school, university administrators, parents, like really deeply understanding more than just the surface level around this space. And so I think we have a really, I would say profound understanding of the problem itself. And we've also spent a lot of time testing different sorts of solutions. So everything you see on Real World has been an evolution from years worth of work, testing out dozens of different types of products and solutions in this space. So we're coming at it from a position of having a very clear direction of where we're going and what we know our market is looking for, because we've just done the work already to figure out what they don't need or what they don't think is valuable, and sort of doubling down on the positive signaling that we've seen. So I think there's one, we've put in the time. Two, frankly, just from a team perspective, we've built a dream team of people who have not only built subject matter expertise in this space, but have also built technical expertise, have built, you know, I have a background in law and finance. So many of these different questions are legal and financial oriented. So just coming at it from that lens initially of being able to really understand the complexity around this space has been huge. And then I think Real World as a company, what we're trying to do is build a brand at the end of the day that is trusted and that can be the platform that is truly helpful and on the side of the consumer and the user as they're navigating these different questions. So whether that's just through purely the aesthetic we're trying to bring to the platform and making it accessible and friendly and cool and, you know, more like your older sister talking to you as opposed to a parent or a financial institution or somebody else talking with you. But also just the way in which we envision going forward, the community that we're building and what we've already seen from the community that we're building, I think positions us to come at a very empathetic lens to the problem that we're solving. We've all gone through it. We've experienced it. We've lived it watching, you know, other people who we've spoken closely with live it too. And so I think we understand where our users are coming from and are building for them.
I think that last point is the one that sticks out to me the most. You have to be very passionate about this problem to want to work on it. And it's an obvious problem. Everyone realizes it, but to go and tackle it is an entirely different beast. And so I think that in and of itself is a compelling case for Real World being a leader in this space. Shifting a little bit away from the student side or the consumer side of this, how do you partner with the different software or platforms that you recommend? And what's kind of the monetization strategy around those, if there is one?
So we've basically, throughout the last couple of years, as we've been building in this space, one of the things that we've really tried to do is understand who those different players are. And so if you look at any of the different categories, whether it's finance or health or your living situation, even government-related things, there are traditional companies that have been established for a long time that are in this space that provide excellent value. And then there's tons of new kind of disruptive up-and-coming companies as well that are providing, oftentimes like next-gen experience or whatever it might be around these different topics. And so we've sort of become simultaneously subject matter experts around the space itself and essentially created a rubric and a real understanding from a vetting perspective as to what our users are looking for and any kind of product that they want to interact with. It's everything from, you know, the value of the product, if it's well priced, everything from like the customer experience, the ethos of the company, and sort of what the company brand means, and if it's aligned with Real World and sort of what our users are looking for. So we've basically done the homework to figure out, number one, how those different products fit into the larger decision-making map and sort of incorporate them into the platform in that way so that we can, again, teach you what you need to know, help you actually set up that account, form, whatever it is that you're trying to figure out, and then manage those things over time. But do it so in a way where we're actually cutting down the time and making it efficient for one of our members or users to essentially make those different decisions. So not having to go down the rabbit hole of Google people and sort of figuring out who can I trust to bring those different products into their life. So number one, we've just spent the time understanding the landscape, two, really trying to make it as efficient as possible for people to understand what the options are. And now we're really just starting to sort of more formalize those relationships with those companies to make them a very seamlessly kind of integrated component into our product. So the vision, for example, is that, you know, we teach you about dental insurance and how dentists work, why you should get one, remind you to get a dentist appointment every 6 months. Why couldn't we integrate with a platform that actually helps you book a dentist appointment using your own insurance? So making it truly like a really bespoke and closed loop experience. And we've seen just a ton of interest from those different partners as well to make sure that they're putting their best foot forward to introduce themselves to the next generation of consumers who are trying to figure out these different questions. So we see ourselves as having sort of a responsibility and one we take really seriously to be that trusted kind of almost better in some ways of these different types of products and services and make sure that our consumers on the platform are first of all educated around the topic, but then second, really have a sense as to what the different options are out there so they can make the smart decisions for themselves.
And I think the longer term opportunity is more evident in through what you just explained, which is real world becoming kind of like your centralized adulthood hub for all of these different software platforms, et cetera, that you might use. It could be your command center, so to speak.
Exactly.
I'm interested, so this is kind of a two-part question in that same vein. The first part is, what is your near-term focus, call it the next 6 months, 1 year? And then what's the end goal here? What do you want real world to look like 5-10 years down the road?
Our focus right now is just continuing to deliver the best possible experience to the user. So we're very, very focused on user testing as we have been from the beginning. We recently launched a mobile app, which has been like really well received and is just allowing us to take what the platform has always done in terms of providing that guidance and make it much more in your pocket, much more kind of on demand, so to speak. And so really optimizing and growing that part of the platform to make it feel customized and also to make it feel more part of your like day-to-day, week-to-week life. So that's really our focus, I would say, for the next 6 months. And there's a lot of different components that come into that, continuing to build out the community lens, like really starting to think through how those products start to integrate into the platform. But it's a super, super exciting time. And our team is tripling over the next couple of months. So we've got like a lot going on this end in terms of just really, really turning on growth. In terms of the long-term vision, it's exciting because there's really no limit to what we can do at Real World because it is such a massive vision and massive space that we are trying to take on. Like we truly see ourselves as being a trusted partner from graduation to gray, like really helping our members understand and navigate these different decisions throughout the course of their life. So, you know, you say like 5-10 years, like we're thinking like 10 to 20 years, like there's so much that we can do really long-term down the road to create, frankly, like create a new category and really establish this new emerging industry of adulthood.
I love that. It's ambitious. Shifting away from real world for a second,
sure.
and maybe you don't have the time to think about this because you're busy building your company, but are there any other problems or opportunities in the education space that fascinate you right now and you might be interested in working on if it wasn't for real world?
Yeah. I mean, as you said, we're pretty laser focused on what we're building, but I think that education is just a massive opportunity for disruption and for growth and for improvement in this country and beyond. It's one of those things where the benefits of getting education right and getting the right resources and tools and learnings in the hands of the next generation, the benefits of that last for generations to come. So it's one of those areas that I think is really just not focused on or not given the right amount of attention in our society today. And so I've been really excited to see some of the kind of new types of educational models that have been emerging in addition to traditional four-year colleges and two-year colleges, you know, around more kind of like workplace preparedness or boot camps around everything from engineering to sales to design to training people in more technical schools to take on a specific trade. And I think just the direction in which, you know, the future of work is going and sort of the different opportunities that are presenting themselves themselves, having a hard skill in the next, you know, 10 to 20 years is going to be really important for people as they are navigating the workforce in a way that perhaps it wasn't over the last 20. So I just think there's a lot of opportunity around really kind of one, trying to cut down on student debt, because it's just an absolutely insane situation in our country at the moment, but trying to figure out how to help prepare people to really succeed in the jobs of tomorrow, not even just the jobs of today. So I think there's a ton there. There's a lot of really amazing companies doing really solid work in this space. And then I think the other thing that I've always been really interested in more recently is around the potential for like video-based kind of curriculum that is asynchronous, that people can tune in when they want to learn different topics. So you see the emergence of things like Masterclass, which has obviously done a really, really incredible job. You know, even things like YouTube is one of the places where people learn a lot of these different topics, where people, you know, even if they're in medical school, for example, they're supplementing their learnings with different lessons on YouTube. There's such a enormous amount of valuable content out there. So thinking through what those different channels are, even at the very micro level from like a TikTok perspective, to teach people in more bite-sized and kind of accessible and again, asynchronous ways, I think is really, really interesting.
Agreed on all fronts. Having been a couple of years into building a company, is there any advice you would give to an ed tech founder or someone who's thinking about starting a company? Maybe some advice that's more tailored to the space, or some insights you've had about it that you wouldn't have thought before breaking in.
Yeah, let's see. I think that there are a couple of things. I think for anyone who's starting a company, one thing I wish I had done was work at another startup before starting my own, just because there's so much learnings that I don't think you can learn from a more established business or from business school that you can learn by being in the very early founding days of a company. So to the extent you can, even just as an intern or like part-time contractor or whatever it is, get exposure to someone who's building in that seed stage, pre-seed, you know, Series A type of landscape, there's just a ton that can be learned that you could put into your own use when you're building your own company. So I think it's really important to like get in the ecosystem and understand how these things work before diving in. And secondly, make sure that when you do dive in, you're diving in a problem that you actually really, really care about, because building a company, no matter what type of company it is hard. And so making sure that the kind of passion is there for the space or the problem or the user or whatever it is to get you through the ups and downs is just like totally critical. In terms of like education specific companies, I think something that we've thought a lot about and is, you know, we've sort of come to our own conclusion, but is important for anyone in education to think through if they're serving this market, is whether you go directly to the learner or to the user, or whether you try and build a business that's more focused on the institutional players. So the colleges or, you know, HR teams at companies, if you're doing more like professional learning and development, and thinking through how does who you are serving and who is buying your product or who is using your product, how does that change what your product looks like, your model, like everything about how you spend your time, how you build your team. It's two very different types of businesses, even though it's in the same sector. So it's something to think through early on in terms of where to spend that time and where to kind of test and iterate quickly in terms of testing out which one of those two markets, you know, directly to someone who's trying to learn a subject or a topic, or to more of an institutional provider of education, you want to go down.
Excellent advice. I think that last point in particular is something I think a lot about. Education related to that, education is unique in the sense that it's one of the few industries that has this principal agent problem, where depending on the business you're trying to create, you might be selling to someone other than the actual end user. And so figuring out how do you message the value prop of your service and align incentives for both parties is a difficult problem to solve. The final question I wanted to ask you is just if there are any experiences in your own education, and obviously you, between going to business school and law school, you've had a lot of education, but any experiences that had a profound impact on you, and whether consciously or subconsciously made you want to work in this space and on this problem?
Yeah, I mean, I would say both. So starting more recently with the, you know, the job I was in, I mentioned before, when I came up with this idea and then dove into the space, it was an opportunity to be working at a larger established company, but focused on entrepreneurship and focused on supporting founders and startups across the world, actually. And so it was an amazing opportunity to watch how dedicated and how committed and just how hard these founders work to solve problems within their own communities. And I think that was really just profoundly impactful for me, because it just made me realize how incredible it is to build a company, to create jobs. Like, that, those are the job creators. The founders and entrepreneurs are the job creators in the country. And so how important it was to support those ecosystems and support those people in their endeavors, but also like how hard do you have to work to like make that happen? So that was really interesting, just to be almost on the outside looking in to what their experience was like building a business. And then I think in my own more formal education, you know, something that, you know, people don't talk about quite as much, but you learn in law school, is really just how to think and kind of how to analyze things. It's a lot of what your training is. It's not just learning the laws, it's sort of learning interpretation and pattern matching and all of these sorts of things that can help you be a good lawyer after you graduate. And I've found that a lot of what that training was taking a large amount of information and distilling it into, you know, small bite-sized and frankly, like repeatable ideas and concepts and learnings, and doing that across a lot of different subjects. And so I felt like when I started building Real World, a lot of that training actually came into play, because it was taking this very nebulous kind of confusing world of adulthood and starting to break it down into much more, you know, identifiable and sort of bite-sized chunks that could actually help people understand what they needed to do and providing some order to that chaos. So interestingly enough, despite, you know, being a lawyer doesn't really translate necessarily to an entrepreneur, but I think that training actually in this case was hugely helpful and has just been helpful as we've been growing the company more generally, that both were super impactful for me.
I love the recognition of that meta skill of being able to take a lot of a complexity and uncertainty and then making sense of it and organizing steps to approach it. I think that's really, in my opinion, that is the goal or one of the top goals of education. So that was a great summary. Awesome. Well, this has been excellent. In closing, if you want to just leave the listeners with where they can find you and learn more about Real World and follow along with the company's journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for the opportunity to share more about our story and what we're building. We're really excited to be at this like very high growth moment, as I mentioned before. So very excited to get the word out to everyone in your community. You can find us in the App Store. So just search Real World. You'll see the Real World Simplify Adulthood app. It's totally free. You can download it. It's really fun. And of course, you can always go to our website as well, which is just www.realworld.co, or follow us along on Instagram, just realworld.co, where we post all sorts of adulting humor and kind of relatable memes around the craziness of being an adult. And then I'm happy to, of course, chat with anyone as well. You can just reach out to us at team@realworld.co. Love to hear any thoughts you have, ideas, questions, or if you want to join our growing team, always excited to chat with people too.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see where you take the company. This is a huge problem and pain point. So I'm happy that someone's solving it. And thanks again.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to review and share, and stay tuned for more episodes.